Today, friends, it's good to be with you again on the broadcast, and we hope you'll stay with us for the next quarter hour as we deal with another Bible lesson that's found in the first epistle that was written by the Apostle Peter. If you want to follow us, look at that first chapter, 1 Peter, on the broadcast, and we'll be back in just a few moments to deal with a very interesting subject, the salvation for the soul. And you have to become excited about this subject because it's something that is ahead for each and every one who serves the Lord faithfully. You know, this broadcast is brought to you with great pleasure by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ. You know, we want you to know that it is not our broadcast. We are simply an evangelist of the church that has been asked by the congregations to prepare these exhortations, and we're offering them to you as though we were in your own home or we're in the church building that's sponsoring this broadcast. Now, these brethren want to sound this forth to you without cost or obligation. They want to be a benefit to you in any possible way that they can. So if you do have questions or comments, feel free to send them in. If we can answer your questions, we'll be glad to do so. And as a brother told me many years ago when I began preaching the gospel, he said, if you don't know the answer, just simply tell people you don't know. Well, if we do know the answer, we'll certainly pass it on to you. If we don't know it, we'll try to find out what that answer is. I want to read here now from this famous first chapter, 1 Peter. He talks about our faith in a very constructive way on the broadcast today. I'm looking at 1 Peter, the first chapter in verse 8, where it refers in a sentence here, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I think it's very important as we begin talking about salvation that salvation is received into our life at the end of our faith. Now, do not misunderstand me in this lesson. I do not mean that a person does not know whether he or she are Christians. We cited that reference in Romans 8 and 16 that said the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit of God is mentioned in the first part of that verse, the Spirit of man in the last part. If our spirit is in agreement with the Lord and Jesus Christ's teaching, which is spiritual teaching, our agreement with the Holy Spirit, then truly we can understand that we're children of God. We have been saved from our past sin. But I maintain that from this scripture, as well as many other scriptures, we have a life to live. Paul made it clear in Philippians 2 and 12 when he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Peter made it clear in Acts 2 and 40 at Pentecost, when he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. The salvation that is spoken of time and time again in the Scripture is a salvation that comes from our past sins. But we're looking forward, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The interesting factor is that a person can do something in this life with their faith. John made it clear in Revelation 2 and 10 when he said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He also added in the final chapter of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, namely in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. So we challenge your thinking, if you have been born again, to convey the idea that eternal life is in your hip pocket, so to speak. You were saved from your past sins if you obeyed the gospel, just as the Bible teaches. But the Christian life is yet before you. Approach this life with a determination for right. Approach this life with a foundation of faith. And as Peter put it clear in 2 Peter, the first chapter, you add to your faith virtue, and then knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. If these things be in you and abound, they'll make it that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, so you know more about the Christian life. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If a person had forgotten that he or she were purged from their old sins, and possibly this has happened because Peter wouldn't say it, if you've forgotten that you're purged from your old sins, if it were impossible for a person to do that, if it's impossible for a person to find themselves in that state, Peter wouldn't have stated it. So we have to understand that it's possible for a person to forget about this. In other words, to turn his back upon it. Oh, it might be in the back of his mind someplace, because I'm convinced if one has ever become a Christian that he's not really going to completely forget everything about the Lord, but maybe his mind is so filled with worldly things. I know people who have done this, and I believe we're just whistling in the dark, so to speak, if we take a position in saying, well, I can't possibly be lost after my sins have been forgiven. Now, our life is hid with Christ in God, but it's just like that story about the safety deposit box that we told you about on one of the broadcasts. We have a control to take the key and put it in the lock and turn it and take that valuable soul out and sell it for a mess of pottage. I believe people have done that. It's a sad condition. But now the interesting factor is that we have many things going for us that are in Christ Jesus. And I want to make it very clear on this broadcast that I am sure that when one is sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise at the time that he obeys the gospel, understanding that he now has a down payment upon eternal life, and this is why he must work out his own salvation with fear and trembling, not according to his plan, because if he follows his plan, he's going to fall flat on his face. Just as no one could have followed their own personal plan and had their sins forgiven originally, and we mean when the person becomes a Christian, when they're born again. So how could we go through this Christian life following our own plan, performing our own works, our own ideas, and gain heaven? But the point is simply this, that we have a life to live that is certainly spoken of as a life of faith. Now he mentions about receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our soul. And the end of that faith is, of course, found in a life that has been filled with an active faith that is in harmony with the will of God. How wonderful it is to have the opportunity of talking to people who have lived faithfully for the Lord time and time again in their life. They're reaching the closing stages of their earth life now, and we can see that that person realizes that God has never forsaken them, that Jesus Christ has never turned his back upon them. They may readily admit that there are times in their life when they did sin, when they missed the boat spiritually, when they made mistakes, but they understood that the same plan that told them originally how their sins could be forgiven when they were alien sinners is also the same plan that tells them how, in talking to God with full repentance and prayer, that they can have their sins forgiven as a Christian. So as Peter writes this, he's talking about that wonderful Christian life that we press forward to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. The wonderful illustrations that the Apostle Paul uses, no doubt alluding to the Olympic Games, is something worthy of our consideration. He did say that the Olympic runner ran the race in the Olympic Games for a corruptible crown. He said we do it for an uncorruptible crown. A crown that is incorruptible, a crown that will not fade away. The olive wreath that was given to the winner of the game, of the race in the games, would soon fade away. But the wonderful crown that he plans for us is that which will never become tarnished or truly will never fade away. It'll always be there. So what are we saying on the broadcast today? We're simply saying that we enter the race. But you see, there's a lot to be done between the starting line when we start from the blocks until we cross the finish. Now, the wonderful thing, friends, about the Christian life, and I can encourage younger people as well as those of us that are older, that if you stay in the race, if you continue adding to your life, to your wonderful faith that's in Christ Jesus, those wonderful golden traits that are so necessary in Christian living, then when you finish the race faithfully, you'll receive a crown of life. See, in the race at the Olympic Games, there's only one person who can win, and they strive for that first place. But in the Christian life, everyone can win who does truly remain faithful unto death. Well, someone might say, preacher, with this uncertainty, will anyone really make the heavenly home? You see, we can't do it by our own power, by our own arrangement. But we do have a sufficient blessing of his grace. One thing that Paul brought out in that 8th chapter of Romans, he said in verse 26, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He also said in the 28th verse of Romans 8 and 28, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So you see, our love for God is truly going to cause us to stay close to him, to want to do his will. And I believe there's a great opportunity for every person that has truly been born again, who receives with meekness that engrafted word that's able to save the soul, that they can continue on faithfully. Each stroke in the race of life can be put forth with faith, with determination, and as we said on the other broadcast, with a lively hope. So we're not telling you dismally today that you can't win the race of life. We're not telling you that you will not have the help of Almighty God. Oftentimes people struggle with the point in saying, well, if our life is based upon keeping his commandments, and truly we're told to do that, then, you know, it puts it upon a basis that we're trying to work to get to heaven. Well, we are going to have a living faith if we're going to get to heaven, and that takes an effort on our part, and it's transferred into the book as the works of righteousness. We become servants of righteousness. But you see, the grace of God enters into the picture. Let's not forget that. And I'm sure as I talk to you on the broadcast today, if we are sincere in trying to serve him, any shortcoming in our life can truly be taken care of by his marvelous grace. We are not sinning because we have grace, but actually we realize in spite of sin, his marvelous grace reaches down to help us when we have fallen and to keep us from falling. Help us at all times, Lord, as we attempt to serve thee. May that be our prayer as we leave this broadcast with you today. If you have questions, send them in. Be with us next time as your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ bring you another Bible lesson.